Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, we just need you to speak. That's really all we need. Your words bring life. They bring life abundantly. Father, just give us revelation of who you are, who you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. I have some concerns with the body of Christ. And, you know, the world's the world. And you can judge history of what times were worse than others, but really they're all pretty bad. But somehow the church has risen to act more like the world than who they are in Christ. And in that, almost the acceptance that it's okay for there to be sin in the church. So I want to talk about living beyond the cross just a little bit today. I'm not going to cover anything in depth, though I have a lot of scripture. But I'm telling you, there's a place in Christ that God has called you to live, that you will live free of sin. So what are you saying? You will not sin. Sin does not belong to you. Sin does not belong in God's people. Sin is not allowed in the kingdom of God. It does not exist. Matter of fact, there is no definition of sin in the kingdom of God. He's abolished it. It's forever gone. And there's a place for us to live that for some reason we have not wanted to approach. We've wanted to just sit around the cross and thank Jesus for what he's done when he died for you for so much more. Salvation wasn't just to get you saved. Salvation was so you could live eternally starting now in his righteousness, in his holiness, in his perfection. Why? So everyone that meets you meets him, and that's who really who they need. See, he told us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And for some reason, we act like that's some distant plan. It's for right now. The verse in 2 Peter, I don't have this in my notes, it says that God has given, here it is. It says, for his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. So what am I saying? I'm saying you have no excuse. That's what I'm saying. Because why? Everything's been given to you. Don't sell him short. He didn't do 99.9% of a job. He fulfilled it. 100% complete. It's finished. There is no more to discuss with it. It is done. That's a place to live. Not at the foot of the cross, beyond the cross. See, he came down off the cross. He went into the grave, and he didn't stay there either. We need to live beyond the grave. So Romans 14, 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't know what your typical day is like. I do know that we're in this world. But I know the typical day in the kingdom of God for kingdom citizens, whether in this world or not in this world any longer, is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Why? Because His Word tells me that. That's my day. I get to walk righteous no matter what. I get to walk in peace no matter the circumstance. Why? Because it's all about Him and it's not about me. The moment I make it about me, I become my Lord. And then I have issues. All my issues stem from me. They don't stem from Him. He's the answer to every issue. See, there's nothing more I can do to become righteous. There's nothing I can do. What? Matter of fact, all things, right? All things are through Him. Without God, nothing's possible. So I want to talk about what I think is the biggest issue in living beyond the cross, and that is really identifying with who we are in Christ. It's so easy for us to fall back in what we were. It's so easy for us to see ourselves as what we were saved from. It's so easy to just stop and say, I can't do it. And the fact is, that's correct. You can't do it. So He did it for you. So why would you try to do it after He's already done it? So what has He done? Do we understand what He has done? I found in looking at some of the stuff that there's way too much. His word is just abundant. Someone told me the story, I don't know if it's Steve or what, about somebody in Africa having preached for 7 years and they just had one page out of the Bible torn out. So that's all they had, so that's what they preached from. And the more I look at the Word of God, the more I begin to understand the richness of His Word. So there's a lot of stuff here, like I said, but I want you to understand the concepts of what we're talking about. So you can chew on this, you can talk to the Holy Spirit about this. The main thing in everything we ever do when we speak is to draw you to a relationship deeper with Him so He can reveal truth to you, okay? So I want to say this. You are new. What does that mean? It means you didn't exist in the state you are before. Brand new. That is who you are in Christ. That is your identity in the kingdom of God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. Okay, it's put very plainly, very simply, something new is here, the old's gone. It's not to be seen, it's gone. It's done away with. You understand the word gone. It's gone. Colossians 3:3, for you died. Quit trying to resurrect yourself. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Going on to verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Verse 7. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. Verse 9, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of the Creator. These passages could easily preach by themselves, but again, let's deal with the concepts so you can get it. You were once something of this world. You are no longer of this world. And that which you are no longer of this world does not sin. It's not capable of sinning. That new creature is in Christ Jesus, in whom there is no sin. You literally have to resurrect that which was buried with Christ, to even begin to have the mindset to sin again. It is not natural for a Christian to struggle with sin, and we need to not accept those struggles. Ephesians 4:22, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In Galatians 2:19, for through the law I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I'll stop there. So, when you've given your heart to the Lord, when you've asked him to become Lord and Savior, Savior's the easier part. Lord tends to be the hard part. You are born again. You become something totally new. What was no longer exists because it was crucified with him. Even more so, you no longer exist, but Christ exists in you. Christ doesn't struggle with sin, just so you know. So where is our identity? Our identity is in Christ, period, plain. If you're a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, your identity is in him. Whenever we get to the point where we'll actually believe it, we'll see our behavior align with it. If the church continues to be sin-focused within itself, it will always struggle with sin because it will always be resurrecting that which he already dealt with, put to death. So living beyond the cross, what did he do for us? He brought us freedom. Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. I'm just going to run through a lot of these passages because I just think they speak for themselves. Galatians 5:13, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Now, there's always been this message out there that says, you know, grace lets you do anything you want to do, right? So people are no longer accountable. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to tell you what I'm saying. You can do anything you want to do. That's the freedom you have in Christ. But you know when you're really free? You know when Christ was really free? When he was in the garden and he said, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. That's when freedom came to Christ. He was totally free. What? Everything that was within him, he surrendered to God. That's when freedom comes. So what I'm saying, yeah, you can do anything you want to do. In the kingdom of God, you're only going to want to do what God wants you to do. Why? Because you're surrendered to his will. How do you know? Because you're in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is all about God. It's not about you. Kingdom citizens don't sin. Why? Because God doesn't sin. And he's not going to direct you to sin. 1 Corinthians 15:56, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So what has he done for us? Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, who gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. If the law, defines what sin is, if the law gives power to sin and the law has been abolished for you, you are free from the law, you cannot possibly sin, because the Spirit of God, which now you're under His law, is not going to lead you to sin. Romans 4:15, and where there is no law, there is no transgression. You are not under the law in the kingdom of God. Colossians 2:20, since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules? See, there's choices still to be made. When you gave your heart to the Lord, He didn't take away your free will. So I'm going to give you three keys of how you can live beyond the cross. I know some people might struggle with message, but you're not going to struggle with any part of this, okay? If you will follow these three principles, you will never struggle with sin, period. Period. For eternity. Something magical doesn't happen just when you get to heaven. Something magical happened when you were born again. Point one. How do we live free? How do we live beyond the cross? We live by His Spirit. Romans 8:3. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. When we live according to the Spirit, we live as the righteousness of God. Romans 8:12. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it's not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Galatians 5:16 says it this way, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. If you study that out, you will find that literally they have no part of one another. There is no existence of the sinful nature with the Spirit. There is no existence of the Spirit with the sinful nature. They're contrary. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. So what am I saying? I'm saying, if you align your will with the Holy Spirit, you are free. And sin will not be an issue for you, because it won't be your will. It won't be your choosing to resurrect something that is put away with. It'll be choosing life. He always leads you into life. He came that you might have life and have it to the full. See, I really believe the earth is just waiting for us to walk into His fullness. And we're waiting for God to do something, and when we don't somehow realize He's already done it, just walk in it. So we live by the Spirit. We will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. No way for you to sin if you're living by the Spirit. It's impossible. Two, if you'll walk in your renewed mind. Romans 8, 5, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Romans 12, 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then, only then, will you be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Sounds like I have to do something, but 1 Corinthians says it this way, 2:15. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things. But such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. If we walk in what he's provided, not only a continually renewal of our minds, but in his mind, it's impossible to struggle with sin. He didn't struggle with sin. Kingdom citizens don't sin. Why? They walk by his Spirit and they walk in his mind. Third point, how do we not sin? How do we not struggle with sin? We abide in him. John 15, 1 says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So what fruit are you producing if you abide in him? Fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, right? John Oliver's Galatians 5, 22, 23, right? It's a great passage. I didn't see sin in there. I didn't see struggles with sin in there. I didn't see unrest, unbelief, guilt, condemnation, shame. I don't see any of it in there. So what are you saying? I'm saying if we abide, if I'm a branch and he's grafted me in, all my nutrition, all my sustenance, all that gives me life is from what I'm grafted into. A part of it I die, and I'll struggle. Abiding in it, I don't struggle. He only produces good things. Why? Because all I get to produce life is through him. It's impossible to struggle with sin. If we live by the Spirit, if we have our mind renewed, how do we renew our mind? Spend time in his word. I just said earlier on how his word is so rich and how it's new every morning and how though the words haven't changed, our revelation and understanding of it continue to grow. And what does it lead it to? It leads us to a deeper relationship with him. As I'm relating with him, he doesn't lead me along paths that are going to cause me to make poor decisions. He just doesn't. So what am I saying about all of this? I'm saying let's live beyond the cross. Let's live how the world needs us to live. Let's live by his Spirit. Let's walk in a renewed mind. Let's abide in him. And then they will see Jesus when they see you. And that's what they need to see. So how did Jesus deal with sin? And this story came to me, and I want you to, we'll end with this. You guys all know the story, and then we'll have communion. So why don't you stand for the conclusion? There is so much more that Christ has for you. He didn't just save your soul so you can go to heaven. He saved you so you can walk in relationship with him today and represent him in everything you do. He saved you so he can live in you, so when people meet you, they meet him. He saved you to have an impact on this world so all will come to know him. And he did 100% of the work. All you have to do is follow. He said this to a lady caught in sin, and I think it's one of the most powerful things that you see in the Word of God. John 8, verse 10. It says, when Jesus has raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" I want to pause. You know, a lot of times we're really hard on ourselves. I don't know about you, but I'm my worst critic. Anyone can berate me all they want. I've said worse stuff to myself. So it really doesn't bother me. Now, don't think bad of me. I would prefer you think well of me, but. So, you know, if you've struggled with things, you're not identifying right, this is powerful. I want you to identify with this, okay? Who has condemned you? No one, Lord. Don't condemn yourself. You have no right to condemn yourself. And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." How do you deal with sin? Stop it. Stop it. Don't wallow around it. Don't let it be an anchor to you. Just let it go and move on with him. Go and sin no more. Produce fruits of righteousness. Abide in him. Live by the Spirit. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." See, he came to bring you life and life to the full. And that is living beyond the cross.